I know of no better hand that we can hold on to than God's unchanging hand. God is good. And all the time, God is good. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to stand up before the congregation this morning, because I didn't have to be here, and you as the congregation didn't have to be here either. But thank God we are all left here. Yes, this gives us one more opportunity to serve God in spirit and in truth. Yes, sir. And we ought to be eternally grateful for that. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from the 6th chapter of Galatians, verses number 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Want to thank Brother Lowe for his prayer this morning and the mentioning of me in there. And I just want to thank you. And then Brother Miles lifted me up. I hope I can lift you all up as well this morning. Thank God, for it is his day, the day that the Lord has made, and we should be glad and rejoice in it. This morning we want to talk for a few minutes about Christians should glory in the cross. Christians should glory in the cross. But let us go to God for a moment of prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, the blessings are yours to give, and they are given to us to receive. And we just thank you for each and every blessing that you give us, O Lord. We thank you for another day in order that we may be able to come out to your house serving thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have left us here, that we are able to be here to serve you, O Lord. We thank you this morning, Father, for the churches of Christ everywhere, in particular those who are holding up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you this morning, O Lord, that your will for our lives is in our lives are in your hand, and it is your will that we still might be here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, and we pray for the leaders of this congregation as well as the membership. We pray for the leaders, their families. We pray for the brothers and their families, especially those who have served their duty this morning to work for the Lord. Father, we pray and ask you to be with us and watch over and keep us as we move on into the next portion of our services. We thank you, O kind Heavenly Father, for giving us everything that we have, O Lord. For nothing is without your knowing about it, O Lord. And we thank you. Father, we just pray for the sick and the shut in. We pray for those who are unable to be with us this morning. We pray that all might be able to be with us at the next appointed time. We thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for the parents who are raising their children, and which is a difficult task these days. But nevertheless, Father, we want to thank you for giving them the mind and the opportunity to serve, to raise their children up in the right way. Father, we thank you for each and every parent this morning that is doing just that, trying to raise their children. We thank you for each husband and each wife. We thank you for each grandmother. We thank you for each grandfather. We just thank you on down the line for all the family, O Lord. We just pray and ask you to continue to give blessings unto them. Father, we pray because we know that somebody has lost a loved one this morning. We just pray for those who have families that are suffering this morning. We pray that you give them the strength to realize that death is only a part of living, and that we all must go that way. Father, we pray and ask you to be with those who are still might be on their way coming to church. We pray that they might make it safely and securely. We thank you, Father, for everything, but most of all, we thank you that Jesus went to yonder's cross, and that we should glory in that cross this morning. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything. It's in the name of Jesus we pray for and ask it all. Amen. Christians should glory in the cross. Christians should love and glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. I speak not of the wooden piece upon which Jesus was crucified, but instead I mean his suffering and his death. The word glory means praise, honor, and being thankful. If we took the cross out of the Bible, there would not be very much left in the Bible. The cross is what the teaching of the church should always make known. Preachers should preach it, teachers should teach it, and the singing should exalt Christ. Christians everywhere should always have a word to give others regarding that same cross. Let us take a look this morning why we should glory in the cross. The cross purchased redemption. The word redemption means to buy back, to pay a debt, to bring back by paying a ransom price. This is what the Savior did for us. He redeemed us through his death on the cross. Note Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 17. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The stain of sin from which we needed to be redeemed, we received remission from our sins through that same blood of Christ. We could not otherwise be free from the bondage of sin without the cross of Jesus. This is one of the benefits we receive free from the cross, though it was not free to Jesus, nor was it free to heaven and God. It cost God his only begotten Son. It cost heaven its crown jewel, and it cost Jesus his life. According to Titus 1 and verse number 4, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Christ is the one who purchased our salvation. How are we redeemed? Well, I'll tell you how we're not redeemed. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 18. We were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. But now I want you to watch how we were redeemed in verse 19 with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus was the perfect and the only one who could do this. We could not do it for ourselves. He purchased the church with his blood in Acts 20 and 28. This is the reason for us to love the cross and to glory in it. The cross produces change. The Word of God tells us how it changes us. And as Paul spoke to the people of Ephesus, how that they were in times past were dead in trespasses and sin. No, they were not physically dead, but they were spiritually dead. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 3, among whom also ye had heard, you all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was before the Savior offered us redemption. Via the cross, we may not be what we ought to be, but thank God, we don't have to be what we used to be. We have been given power from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Power to resist what we once gave in to. This is why we need to glory in the cross. We have been bought with a price. We can resist that old life we once lived by coming to Christ, putting him on through baptism, and live a new life. We have been changed. We have been changed from darkness to the kingdom of Jesus. Colossians 1:13 and 14, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. But I want you to notice verse 14 there. It says, we have redemption through his blood even the forgiveness of sin. The blood is still saving and still redeeming us today. Because of the cross, one who comes to Christ can get off the road to hell and get on the highway to heaven. The cross of Jesus can make us free from the law of sin and death. The cross has many things going for it. The cross has saved us and redeemed us and given us an opportunity to new life. The cross promises us eternal salvation. The cross promises us hope. The cross and the blood of Christ gives us hope. Not just any hope, but blessed hope. We can look forward to the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus, according to Titus 2 and verse number 13. But I want you to flip over with me, if you will, to the middle point of the cross, the midpoint of the cross. In John chapter 14, verse number 1 through verse number 6, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We can look for hope in the cross. We don't have to struggle with any heart troubles anymore, because the Lord told us to let not our hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, also believe in me. We have hope that one day we too should live with thee, Jesus, in that prepared place. Hope that you will come again. Hope that one day peace shall be ours. All the dark clouds shall one day be rolled away. Hope that all of our tears shall be washed away. Lord, we know that your cross can lead us straight to heaven. One day it shall be all over here. When the saved get to heaven, we sing quite frequently. We can sing with joy to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Lord, your cross is life-saving for us. One day when we shall not have to struggle down here, when we shall have no more hills to climb, no more storms to face, no more sad songs to sing. Thank you, Lord, because you have a better place for us to dwell in. Help us to learn to glory in the cross. If you remember the text, Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. When I think about it and I look back on my own life, you know, I like to use the preacher for an example, because I know the preacher, like I often tell you. I know the preacher very well. And I know that there's only one person who knows the preacher better than the preacher knows himself. And that one person is Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus knows me as well as better than I know myself, what does that say about the rest of us? He knows the rest of us better than we know ourselves. When I think about how wonderful the cross was for us, but not so wonderful for Jesus Christ, because it cost him his life. But our love, he doesn't ask us much. He only asks us for our love and obedience. If you love me, in John 14 and verse number 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. All right. All right. Lord Jesus, let us stay near the cross that we may glory in it. Help us to glory in your cross, the same cross that you died on, Lord. You don't have to ask much from us, Lord, but you just ask for that same obedience that I just mentioned. You ask us to be obedient and keep your commandments. That's all you ask of us. And then when I think about how well you treat us, Lord, sometimes it makes me wonder just how good you are to us, O Lord. I wonder why you're so good to us, Lord. I wonder because sometimes we don't love you back like you love us. Sometimes when the question rises up, you beg the question, Lord, what would I do without you, like I often say? And the answer to that is nowhere and everything. Lord, where would I be without you? Nowhere. What could I do without you? Nothing. No, nothing. When I look at the world and the conditions that it's in today, I ask the question of myself, why is man so evil? But then all I have to do is go back into the Old Testament and look in Genesis, where the Bible teaches us that the world was full of evil. All that was going on was the evilness of mankind. When I think about it, I look at the cross, and I look to the cross, and I glory in the cross because Jesus saved us so that we might have an opportunity to eternal life from the cross. He died for us on the cross that we may have everlasting and eternal life. He died for us on the cross because we couldn't die for ourselves on the cross. He died for us on the cross because we have the cross today to look forward to. We have the cross of Jesus to glory in, and we need to be considerate of one another as we walk in this thing called life, this path called life. Some of us, we don't like each other very much. We don't care about each other very much. And you say, well, preacher, why do you say that? I love everybody. Yeah, but sometimes you don't show it. Sometimes we need to just let folk know that you love them. We need to lift them up. You know, there's nothing wrong with lifting one another up from time to time, because Jesus was lifted up and he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And when I think about him drawing all men unto him, it took me a little while to understand what he was talking about. But now I know what he was talking about. We need to just love, and we need to step back. And you know, sometimes, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Sometimes the biggest problem we have is us. The biggest problem I have is me. The biggest problem you have is you. If we move you and I out of the way, we might not have so many problems in this life. When you look in the mirror, you're looking at your biggest problem right there facing you back in the mirror. So we need to learn to love one another because Christ first loved us. While he died for us, while we were yet in our sin. I love the Lord, but I also love my brothers and sisters. I love them because God told me to love them. But he doesn't have to twist my arm to keep me loving them, because he keeps on loving us. He loves us in spite of our shortcomings. He loves us because he died for us, gave himself for us. And you know, it was not an easy death that Jesus suffered. That he died and suffered on the cross. He was pierced in his side, the Bible said. He was brought up raised up from the earth, lifted up on that cross. And there he died to save us. And sometimes I think back to the cross and I think about those people who were there, those people who chose to release a criminal rather than release the Savior of all mankind. And then I look back a little further in my own mind and I can just say to myself and I can just see myself loving the Lord and not loving Him enough. Because we cannot pay the price for Jesus' sacrifice on yonder's cross. We cannot pay the price because we couldn't afford to pay our lives for it. So now we can't afford to pay Jesus for being our substitute for us. Then I notice sometimes when we come to church on Sunday morning, and I'm not accusing anybody in here, so don't nobody say, well, catch me at the back door and say, well, you talking about me? I don't know, am I? But sometimes, some of us, we come in the church house and we bring everything, all kinds of baggage with us. And then we take it out on the brothers and the sisters in the church. Good morning, what's good about it? Or how you feel? I feel with my hands. How you feel? You know, you'll get answers like that. But we must learn to be kind and gentle to one another, to exalt one another, because we have been told to lift each other up. And when I try my best to reach down to help somebody get up, I feel good when I can help somebody to get up. I feel good when I can exalt somebody. I feel good when I can tell somebody, God has something better in store for you. You just need to ask Him what it is and what you need to do. You need to meet Him at the cross of, at the pool of baptismal. And sometimes we don't know how good things really are until we see something bad. And then we realize how good things really are. I know that some of us will answer the question and say, well, if things are so good for us, why am I suffering so much? Well, I don't have the answers to everything that you may be going through. I don't know why you're going through all of that. But the one thing I do know is that God loves you. He loves you. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that those who should believe on Him shall be saved, shall not perish. Right. So when I think on this matter of life, I think on the matter of religion as well. And you know, if we had an organ up in here and a set of drums, and we had the angelic all-stars behind me, you know, we would be different, I guess, some of us. See, the people in those places that have all of that, they seem to be more joyful than us, and we have the Word of God with us on our side. We need to glory in that cross. We need to be thankful for that cross. We need to show love and thanksgiving unto the Lord for Him dying on that cross. And when you show thanksgiving, let the Lord know. Don't always come and ask Him for something. Bring Him a little thanksgiving sometimes. Bring Him a little thanksgiving. Simply say, Lord, I just thank You for what You've done for me. I don't have a list of all the things that You've done for me, Lord, but just what You've done for me, I know was good for me. I know that You died on yonder's cross and all the glory in it. I know that you gave me an opportunity to the tree of life and everlasting life. I know these things. And I know you keep me here, Lord. And I know you promised me, oh Lord, it's written in your word, oh Lord, that man lives 70. That's 70 years. Now that's not necessarily saying that each and everybody in here is going to live to be 70. But that simply says that this is what's in the scripture. Now if you live past 70, you're living on borrowed time, and that's because of by reason of strength. Isn't that right? Now, when you put this all together, you need to glory in the cross. You need to say, glory, Lord, for your cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your cross. And then you need to just look out over and among you and tell that brother or that sister that you come in contact with very frequently how much you love them. You know, there's no shame unless you make it shame in a man telling another man that I love you. Now, I don't mean that other kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't mean that other kind of stuff. First thing somebody's going to say, Brother Carter told us it's all right for man to love a man. That's not what I said. I said the Lord said you are supposed to love everybody. Now, I'm not talking about any kind of proposal type of love. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about loving one another the way we should. Uplifting one another. Now, I may not be able to write you out a check for $300 or $400 to pay your rent, if that's what you need. But maybe, just maybe, I can give you a word of kindness. And maybe you can go along your way and figure out another way to pay your rent. Now, but on the other hand, if Brother Carter was able to, perhaps he would write you out that check to pay your rent with. But I can see some of us right now saying, you know what I'm about to say, you know where I'm going. I can see some of us now say, I ain't giving him nothing. He ought to go out and get a job. Well, maybe his job dried up. Maybe he doesn't have the means or the support to get a job. You can't judge him because he doesn't work. I know what you're going to say. The Bible says if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. But that's not what it's all about. Sometimes you have to look beyond what you see and go on what you feel. And the Lord says for me to love you, I'm not to judge you, I'm to love you. Now, when it says to love you, that doesn't mean that I'm going to come by your house and stay for 4 or 5 weeks. That all that means is I let you know I lift you up, I exalt you. I'm showing a little concern for you. Thank you, Brother Miles. That lets me know that I care about you. Now, I see people out there on the street begging from time to time, and some of these people you actually do have enough feelings for that you help them out sometimes. But when I see the same people over and over again, I begin to question that myself now. The same people standing on the same corner begging each and every day. Well, I'm not here to help you make a living. I'm here to help you support yourself, but not to give you a living. Some folk have made a job out of it. And that's not what the Bible teaches us. So when we love one another, we'll help one another from time to time. And don't be like the last time I tried to help somebody, the person told me, no, I said, I'll take you in here and buy you a sandwich here at McDonald's. No, I don't want that. I don't eat McDonald's. Well, if you're hungry, you'll eat anything, won't you? And then I had one guy, I was coming back from lunch from working one day, and he told me to give him, I think he asked me for a dollar. I told him, I ain't got no dollar to give you. I didn't tell him I didn't have one. I said, I don't have no dollar to give you. And then he literally cussed me out. You dress like that and you ain't got a dollar? And so I finally had to tell him, if I got it, it's mine. But see, I didn't get angry at him and cuss him out like he did me. I didn't do that. I could have, but I didn't do that. I just showed him a little kindness. I finally told him, I said, if you had a better attitude, maybe you would get more from people. You don't tell nobody what to give you when you're asking. If Jesus had to ask us to pay him a dollar for the death that he suffered, each and every person to pay him a dollar for the death that we suffered, how many people would be able to even pay that dollar? So all he's asking for is to obey his commandments and be obedient. Isn't that all he's asking, church? To glory in the cross. And when you glory in the cross, I know my time is up, but I got a few more things to say. There's no football game on today. There's no basketball game on today. They had the All-Star Dunk Contest last night. They have the All-Star Basketball game tonight. Not this afternoon, but tonight. So I can be like Paul if I want to and just speak until midnight. Thank you, Brother Mike. I can preach till the game comes on, he said. I know I would lose most of you because most of you would probably fall over on the bench and go to sleep. But all I'm saying this morning is that I'm just trying to show you something that the Bible teaches us to do, and that is to glory in the cross. Glory in the cross. Jesus didn't want to face the cross himself, but he faced it anyhow. He said he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed. He said, Lord, if it's your will, not my will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will. So what I'm saying to you is that we need to live the Lord's will and not our will. Now I know that there are some of us who want to take matters into our own hands and live the way we want to live. You can't do that. Not and live a righteous life and be obedient to Christ, you can't. When you live your own life, your life is going to be raggedy. I may as well tell you that right now. And if you live a raggedy life, guess how you're going to die? A raggedy life. And guess how you'll find yourself getting up on that great morning? A raggedy getting up. So all I'm saying once again is the glory in the cross. In other words, live today like you want to get your mansion, your robe, and your crown now. And if you live that way now, maybe you'll get it in the end. Let not your hearts be troubled, I just read for you a few minutes ago. Believe in God also, believe in me also, believe in God. I know many of us have heart troubles. And I don't mean the physical kind of heart trouble. We worry about things too much. I used to worry about my kids. I used to worry that when they go out and be out in the street, I used to sit up sometime at night waiting for them to come home. But I finally got over it. Through prayer, I got over it. And I went to bed. If they came in at 12, they got in at 12. If they got in at 1 or 2, they got in at 1 or 2. I was going to try to be asleep. I just give them over to the Lord and went to sleep. And thank God they made it through. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So learn to glory in the cross this morning. And you may ask the question, how do I get close? Or how do I get next to Jesus? How do I put on Jesus? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson will do it this morning. You feel like baptizing somebody? If there's somebody here, you have that opportunity in a few minutes. Brother Jackson will baptize you. If you've already been there, but you've walked astray, you come back to the Lord by asking for His forgiveness, come forward, ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may gather your strength back and live obedient for the rest of your life. This is your desire as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.